When Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden, we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, that God drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. The original sin of our first parents had a consequence that every one of their children, until the end of time, would suffer. Exclusion from a created place of beauty and peace. Now, at first glance, it seems awfully unjust that God would punish all of us just because Adam and Eve messed up. That's why some theologians posit that what original sin did was introduce a lot of disorder and chaos into our world, and that we have this woundedness that we experience as part of the human condition. In a sense, we're always yearning for something other and bigger than ourselves. We find in ourselves this profound longing, nostalgia in the heart for a home that we have never known. So that raises the question: does God look down on us from his celestial throne, surrounded by 9 choirs of angels ministering to him in adoration and praise at all times, and just shrug his shoulders? How do we square this with the idea of God as all-loving, all-merciful, and all-good? We can look at the scene of the cherub barring us from Eden with a fiery sword as a terrifying image. But what if God had a different purpose in it? What if God wanted something more for us than a merely created natural paradise? He knew that we might set our sights low and accept something less than what he planned for us. And so he bars us from the garden of earthly delights and bids us to rise up higher, away from earth, to heaven itself. Now, I know that you've heard me say this before, but sometimes I'm like a broken record. You know, I always caution people not to think of heaven is some place above the clouds in the sky. It's not a place like Jerusalem or Pumpkin Town are places, right? Heaven is the complete and total possession of God. We are his, and he is ours. So why then does Jesus float up into the sky as he goes to his Father? In order to direct our gaze away from ourselves and from this world, from the natural to the supernatural, from the created to the uncreated. We look up, we look out, we look forward, but we do not look back to where we came from, whether that be Eden or the east side of Greenville. In the mystery of the ascension, heaven is opened up for all of humanity redeemed in Christ. Acts chapter 1 describes the scene with the apostles gazing up in the sky on the Mount of Olives and the 2 men dressed in white, angels who appear out of nowhere. Psalm 47 foretells that God will mount his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. Think about these 2 competing images. A profound silence on earth of mystery, reverence, and awe. And an unimaginable music seizing heaven with infinite joy. You know, I can't imagine what the trumpets of the angels must sound like to the human ear, or how it may stir the soul when our bodies and spirits are reunited on the last day. So for now, I await in the silence of this life, in hopeful expectation that I may be recognized as one of the Lord's own on that day. that silence prepares us for the true grandeur of music. On this Sunday, after the Feast of the Ascension, even as our Mother, the Church, continues to clothe her liturgy in the sumptuous vesture of heavenly sounds, let us remember that we are only experiencing the slightest foretaste of what one day will be ours. So for now, we prepare ourselves in silence and peace, and most of all, joy.